I was thrilled for a couple of weeks ago was John Millman. He's currently quarantining in Sydney, and I want to find out what he's up to in that hotel room for the next couple of weeks. He joins us on the show now, an ATP Tour winner. John Millman, how does that sound?
Oh, it sounds pretty good, boys. It was a culmination of a pretty tough year, and really happy to lift the title.
In all years for strange things to happen, it's been a long time coming. You have really peaked later on in your career after overcoming so much in terms of injury and fitness, and it's so good to see you back. Describe the relief, the feeling after finally getting your name on a trophy at the elite level.
Yeah, look, it's a tough thing. The ATP titles have been tough to come by for anyone, and I've been in two finals before that. I came up against some pretty stiff opposition in one of them. I think I played against Novak. So they're not that easy to win. And I was a little bit apprehensive early doors to get over on the plane to Kazakhstan. I wasn't totally sure what to expect, but what a place. No Borat in sight, and they looked after me incredibly well. And I was just so happy. And like you touched on, I was very relieved to lift the title, because it's something that, at least until, I'm hoping I've still got a few more years left swinging the rackets, but it was definitely something I wanted to check off before I stopped playing tennis.
And there were some really good players that you beat as well, Francis Tiafoe, Fernando Verdasco, and Manarino in the final. What was it like over there? Tell us a bit about the stands, the arena that you played in, the setup of the tournament, what Kazakhstan is like. Describe what the feeling was.
Yeah, look, it's different. Tennis is different in general these days, though. For the last 4 months, I've been playing in bubble quarantine conditions. So literally, you can only go from the hotel to the courts, back to the hotel. You can't get outside the hotel, or you can't go outside the court vicinity. So tennis is a little bit different, and I just have to commend the great job the Kazakhstan Tennis Federation did in hosting that tournament. You know, it was a pop-up event. They only had about 6 to 8 weeks notice, because another event had to cancel due to the COVID situation, and they had such a small amount of time to do it. But the president of the Kazakhstan Tennis Federation, he's a multi-billionaire, and he loves his tennis, and that helps. He owns the Ritz-Carlton down the road, so we had pretty good lodging, and overall it was a phenomenal experience, because they did such a good job. And And I got the title, and it's easy to say that you enjoy the place when you lift the title, but they did do an incredible job, and hopefully it becomes a permanent fixture on the ATP Tour calendar, because they deserve it. They should get that reward after hosting such a good tournament.
You said you've been operating these bubbles, John, but the reports out of Melbourne down here that the Victorian government isn't playing ball with what would be the Australian Open bubble, which would have you guys in a hotel but able to practice while you're quarantining at Melbourne Park.
Yeah, look, it's a really tricky situation, and I can understand the apprehension that the Victorian government has, because Australia's done such a good job in tackling the COVID situation, but I'm very confident that Tennis Australia and the Australian Open team could create a safe environment, not just for the players, but the people of Victoria. It's a really tricky situation right now. I don't think players would come if they have to stay inside a hotel like I am right now and then go out and compete. It's just not safe for them to do so. And, the Victorian government looks like they really have to play ball for the tournament to go ahead. And I know that Craig Tiley and the team are working relentlessly to try to make it happen. But from a player's point of view, there's obviously a little bit of anxiety from the playing community, because obviously we want to get to Australia. We love playing the Australian Open, but decisions probably have to be made pretty soon for the event to go ahead, in my opinion.
So do you think if they were forced to endure the quarantine that you're currently going through, that would stop a number, if not perhaps even a majority of players coming to Melbourne for the Australian Open?
Yeah, look, the idea to begin with was to have it like we have had over the last 4 months at every tournament, which is where you can do your hotel quarantine. You're in a bubble, but you also have access to tennis courts. So you get carted around in buses to the tennis courts, where you are also in a bubble. There's no members of the public allowed there. and then you can come back and stay in your room and wait until the next day until your quarantine period's over. And I just don't think that players so close to a Grand Slam would be able to just be confined to a hotel room. It's actually not so good for your body. I don't know too many professional athletes that would do it in any sport to be going out there and doing the arduous best of five set tournament that the Australian Open is. So I don't think that it would be possible. So I really do believe that we have to come up with a solution. And unfortunately, because the event is held in January, time's of the essence.
I've very much enjoyed watching a lot of fitness videos and that sort of stuff from tennis players around the world, and especially yourself as well, in terms of what you've been getting up to. What are you allowed to do at the moment in hotel quarantine? Are you in Sydney at the moment, is it?
I am in Sydney. I couldn't get a flight to Brisbane, unfortunately, because I would have reveled in the Queensland's victory last night. In Brisbane, you're allowed to get outside, I think, for half an hour a day. They enclose an area. But unfortunately, here in Sydney, you can't do that. So literally, I am confined to the room. I had my first test yesterday, and I've got one more in about 8-9 days' time. So I've managed to get a bit of equipment sent up to my room. So very thankful to the guys at the National Tennis Centre there in New South Wales. So I've got an exercise bike. I've got some weights and trying to keep myself busy, trying to keep myself occupied. But it's a testing time for me. I'm a fidgety person and you know, I don't really like sitting still, and I'm kind of forced to do so in these conditions.
How big is the room? Like, have you got enough? Is it a nice big suite, or did you get the five-star treatment, or is it sort of just a bed with an exercise bike next to it?
It's pretty much potluck, you know. When you get off the bus, you get onto the bus from the airport, and just depends on. There's about four different buses from the flight that I was on, and they all go to different hotels, so it's a bit of potluck. We managed to get the Sofitel at Wentworth Sydney.
Oh, hang on.
The rooms are big enough. There's no windows that open, which I think that's a little tough. You can look out at the other rooms here, and I'm currently doing so right now. And the first three levels all have these tiny little balconies, and I am so jealous of the people that I'm looking at right now that can get out there and just sit on this tiny little balcony, because, well, we don't have that luxury in my room. But look, I'll get through it. We're day three now. We've only got, 11 and a half days to go.
What about just looking over the year? I mean, you're now 38, and it's been a crazy season, we know, but Dominic Thiem beat Rafa a couple of days ago. I mean, what's your thoughts on the chasing pack of the good old big three?
Yeah, look, I think there's possibly a little bit of a changing of the guard now. I'm never going to write off the champions that the big three are, because, in my opinion, those three guys are nearly some of the best we've ever seen, you know, in tennis in general. So I think that they're still going to be around, unfortunately, and winning plenty of matches and taking titles away from us chasing them. But I do think that there is a bit of a changing of the guard. We've seen some incredibly talented players that are coming through, and they're starting to beat the top three players. And when that happens, it gives you confidence. It makes you feel as if you belong. And when you walk on the court, you stop playing their reputation because you've gone out there and you've beaten them before. And I think we're starting to see that Dominic Thiem. He doesn't look out of place when he goes out there. You know, you really think he's going out there believing he can win. And I think back in the day, I think some of those guys possibly didn't quite have that belief that they could win. But these guys almost seem a tiny bit more vulnerable these days, which makes for a really exciting Australian Open coming up, because I really do believe, even though Novak Djokovic is so tough to beat in Australia, I do believe that there's a few guys that could cause the upset.
Your consistency has been a feature of your game over the last couple of years, and you've really found your groove on tour. In terms of the build-up to the Australian Open, how difficult is it going to be this year to plan? What would be the ideal scenario? Would you play maybe two tournaments in the build-up, or sort of land in Melbourne, play 1 week of a tournament, and then head to Melbourne Park? What would be the ideal scenario for you?
Yeah, good question. And everyone's different. Some people like to go in quite fresh. For myself, I like to be playing tournaments right up until the Grand Slam. So if you look at all the Grand Slams, I'm normally trying to play a tournament the week before. I'm someone that likes to get my groove. I like to get that match fitness up, and I really like to be playing matches going into the big tournaments. So last year, for example, I went to Auckland to go and get some matches in before coming to the Australian Open. So, look, I'm really hopeful that there's a couple of events on still before the AO. And obviously now with that timing, it's going to be pretty tight if the dates remain the same. From what I've heard, potentially, the players won't be able to fly in until that 1st of January. And the Australian Open's meant to be the 18th. So unless we can play underneath quarantine conditions, it's going to be very tricky to get in those lead-in events. And I know that the Tennis Australia is working with the Victorian government, and hopefully, hopefully we can get some exceptions, because I really do feel, I've been playing tennis over the last 4 months in some really big COVID-stricted areas, and I really do believe that we can create a safe environment and still be able to play some tennis.
Yeah, fingers crossed they can get it sorted sooner rather than later, so you will know your movements, because I'm sure half the battle is the plan as to what is happening over the next month in the build-up to the Australian Open. John, great to talk to you as always on RSN. We love having you on the show. Congratulations for a couple of weeks ago, now an ATP Tour winner. I'm so glad you've got that title to your name now, and we look forward to seeing what you can do down here in Melbourne. Hopefully a few tournaments before the Oz Open rolls around in January.
Look forward to it. Love coming to Melbourne, guys. Thanks for that.